Hey, what's up, everybody? Drab and Valdez here for SeatGeek. Happy opening day, one of the best days of the year for a sports fan. And we're just around the corner from the Nats home opener on Monday.
Apple pie and opening day baseball. There's nothing more Americana than that. I told Drabby and I told you guys I got my tickets through SeatGeek for Saturday's Orioles opener. Opening weekend against the Angels, I'm sitting behind the home plate for $72, and I got that deal with SeatGeek.
Going to your first baseball game of the year is one of the best sporting events that you can honestly go to. So much fun, so much joy, so much optimism, even if you're a Nats fan. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app, Valdez.
I know. I have my tickets in my queue and my Apple wallet ready to go. I have them handy so I don't have to fumble around with a regular ticket. And it was so easy to use. The green dots, whenever you see them, when you log into SeatGeek, that's how you know you're getting a great deal. They have every deal rated 1 through 10, 10 being the best. I believe my deal, Drab, was a 9.2.
Awesome. They put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you are getting a good deal. The best thing about SeatGeek is every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of time with swaps.
And right now, just for you biddies, if you go onto SeatGeek and you download the app and use that promo code BITSEASON, all one word, you get $20 off your first purchase. So download that app right now, use our promo code, and save some cash that you can use on concessions when you're at Nats Park or at Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
That's the SeatGeek app. Download it today.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ah ha ha ha. It's bit season. Bit season, couple of regular guys.
It's happy bit season day, everybody. This is episode 124. Drab and Valdez
hey,
here.
What's up? Happy Bitty Day.
Happy Bitty Day. Running the two-man weave.
Running the two-man show.
On this show and on the big show as well, just Cakes and Lurch this week.
Hey, what, I know we have a whole rundown thing, but I you know what? I appreciate you.
Pat me on the back, 10 seconds in. I'm trying to pump me up.
I appreciate you for your comment on Wednesday when we were itemizing the fact that it was going to be a two-man show. And then I think Eric said, like, what are you guys going to do? And then Jason said, well, Matt will chime in more or participate more.
Oh, yeah. We got volunteered to host.
Yeah. We got volunteered to host. And then you said, do we get your paycheck? I just want to let you know that didn't go unnoticed by me. I appreciate that.
It can't hurt to ask. Just throwing it out there. We're going to be doing more heavy lifting. Then
sometimes you need a back brace if you're going to be lifting heavy.
Hey, when you ask your plumber to stay an extra hour, he's not doing it for free. You're right.
Yeah, I know.
So, but you know,
I know.
I don't mind the opportunities to chat more on the show, even though it's you know, Valdez and I are going to talk. Obviously, we like to chime in more on the non sports stuff, and if it's a Jason Cake show, it's going to be a lot of sports,
heavy sports,
especially on opening day in a busy week like it was this week with the arena and everything going on. But hey,
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just letting you know that I was picking up what you were putting down, and I appreciate it.
Why was EB being so weird about us knowing how much he gets paid per hour?
I don't know. We know how much they make.
We know how much they make. We know their base salary. We know
how much
their endorsement fees, all the add-ons, their bonus structure. We know it all. There's nothing to be shy about with EB.
I know. And I always show them that. And I will always claim that during one of the drinking shows, Eric said many times drunkenly, "I'm a millionaire."
And then he follows it up with, to be president, I'd have to take a pay cut.
Pay cut.
So you guys do the math on that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe when it's broken down hourly like that, it's just weird. I don't know. Weird, different. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't like the fact that you were putting the idea out there.
It was a rather large number. And in fact, now I'm doing the math because I know how much I get paid per hour. It is a vast difference.
But I'm just saying I noticed that. And and then that just you jarred my memory when you said running the two-man weave.
Well, look, it's been a fun, interesting week on the show. I think what was most surprising to me is that I didn't realize this entire time you've been talking about Zach Brown.
Zach Bryan, but there's a Zach Brown, so I can understand how you're
confused. I honestly wasn't doing a bit.
I know. I trust me, I get it. It's a common misnomer. It's actually funny that every country star basically has two first names.
Yeah, I don't. I guess that was the same thing, the dumb question that Lurch asked on the show. I know about the Zach Brown Band and Country Fried and Toes and all those songs like that. I met Zach Bryan. I didn't realize that was on a Monday night. And I can't believe you'd pulled an all-nighter on a Monday with the entire week still in front of you to see a country act, which I don't even think that you're really that into. Like, I think you're temporarily into it.
Hold on. Temporarily into Zach Bryan or temporarily
both,
into country?
Both.
You think I don't like country music?
I think that you didn't grow up being a country.
You think I'm a Johnny come lately?
I think you like the movement a little bit.
Okay.
I think you like all these new guys because it's kind of cool to like country now.
Okay.
But back in the day, it wasn't cool to like country.
No.
Like you were just some.
No, you listened to pop. You listened to rap.
Right.
You know, I wasn't.
You weren't driving to Pasadena High School
with
back
Alan
in the,
Jackson. With, blaring,
yeah, you weren't
doing my car.
You weren't doing that. You weren't listening to Travis Tritt and all those donkey donks back in the day. But now that's kind of cool to like country as a middle-aged white male. You just are on the cusp of it.
I'm all in. I'm all in.
You're all in.
I wasn't blaring Garth Brooks back in the day.
No.
Okay. I don't
know anything about Pasadena, but it doesn't scream country to me.
Oh, you go visit.
No, it doesn't scream like country lifestyle.
Oh, country, the country life.
Yeah.
Like farms,
cowboys, big trucks. I don't know. You just,
there's a lot of big trucks in Pasadena. I will say that.
Okay. Trucks. Definitely. I'm sure there are, but what I don't think greater
cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots. Did anybody in your high school wear cowboy boots?
Yes. Kevin Miller.
Do you understand that half my high school donks were wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots?
I get it.
I'm not a country guy. I'm not going to. But I'll like some of their music.
Yes. Everyone, there were kids that had their keys like hooked up to their belt buckles and everything.
Yeah.
Or on their side, like they were a janitor. That was hot.
So tell me, what made you want to go to a concert on a Monday night about Zach Bryan?
Well, I enjoy his music. I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of him as an artist.
I know, but you saw Morgan Wallen on a Saturday at FedEx Field.
Trust me, I wish it was a Friday night or Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, but I'm going to be honest with you, Drab.
Why don't you just tell your buddies no?
No. I'm having a midlife life crisis.
Okay, all right. Yeah, now I dip my toes into this. All right, now we're on to something.
I'm having a midlife.
You're having identity crisis. I sniffed that out.
No. Not an identity crisis. I'm having a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've let opportunity go by the wayside.
Is this going to end with porn beers?
No. It has to do with me not taking advantage of my, for lack of a better word, celebrity, my ability to commandeer such tickets.
Okay.
We're in a great position of working for
celebrity is an interesting word there.
Your
hookups.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Uh-huh.
All right. Trust me,
tentacles.
Yes, I don't think I'm a celebrity, but right. I'm trying to be funny.
I'm trying to be funny. All right.
So
midlife crisis, celebrity.
I need the
light bulb has gone off. Yeah, hey, what am I doing?
Yeah, I only have a certain amount of runway before the party crashes. Right.
Yeah.
Before the parents come home and bust everyone at the party.
Before you can't do this anymore.
Before I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Before
it's not going to be around forever.
Yeah, it's not going to be around forever. Mm-hmm. Who knows if when the gravy train's going to end? And I'm starting to take advantage of this stuff now. I'm starting.
Right,
to be,
I wouldn't call that a midlife crisis.
And I'm starting to be more philanthropic with my
with your hookups. Like, yeah, you're blessing your friends.
Yes,
okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm trying to make a memory, make an experience.
Very philanthropic. You giving free tickets to other people.
Well, having them come with me and do the experience together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm into now. Mm. I'm into that.
I can appreciate that. Why don't you? But you don't have to go. You just say, "Hey."
That would be a slap in the face. That would be a slap in the face to going out to dinner and going out to JVS's hookup and everything like that. That's a slap in the face. I'm not just gonna put the tickets in their back pocket and send them along. I'm gonna go with them.
Why don't you just take a day off?
I have golf trips coming up.
Okay,
and plus I'm not just gonna. You give me crap for taking off to go on vacation. You think you're not going to give me crap for taking a day off because the concert doesn't end until midnight?
Well, we just give each other crap about everything all the time. Yeah. That doesn't mean I have any real A, care about it, or B, authority to tell you not to. You don't send your time off request to me. You send it to CK. And then I get wind of it, and then I poke you a little bit. Dude, I'm leaving in a couple weeks. I'm going to be gone for 8 days.
I know.
I don't care about your golf trips. What am I? Who am I to judge?
I'm just saying I've already put in my time off and I can't go back and readjust.
All right.
I'm already.
I'll be honest. Banking. Now that Michael Marr is here,
it's a lot easier.
It doesn't bother me.
Okay, great.
Because I know that he'll step in and it will be the same dynamic. Not that we won't miss your zings and your camaraderie and everything, but I'm not going to be waking up in cold sweats in the middle of the night.
Much more replaceable with Mara around.
More or less. Me too. It's fine. Mara's filling in for me as well.
But does that explain why I'm going out on a Monday?
Yeah.
I will say, younger me would have abused this privilege. And I wouldn't have gotten any sleep, would have been less adult about it.
Well, that's actually my follow-up question. Now that we're no longer on the air and there's a much smaller listening audience and nobody really cares, how many beers did you really have?
I told you.
Two beers?
I had two at the concert, and then we had a dinner beforehand. The dinner is when I had four drinks at dinner.
Okay, all right. So you had six drinks.
I had six drinks total. And then
you had a nice buzz going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You stumble to the hotel room.
A pound water like the last hour of the concert.
Mm-hmm.
And then get home, fall asleep, set my alarm for 4:45, walk over from Homewood to the station.
You've got more sleep than usual.
Yeah.
Almost are about the same.
I've got the same. I planned it out perfectly.
All right. How much did all this cost you?
Okay. Hold on, with the dinner?
Dinner, tickets, hotel.
Okay. The hotel.
Mr. Celebrity. How much did all this cost you?
The concert tickets, gratis.
Okay.
Hotel was $300.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Four Star.
Well, it's the home. I wanted the ability to keep my car parked.
I got you.
And then walk across. And then there were six of us at dinner. I didn't get six tickets for the show, but I knew other people that were going.
I'm going to be honest. $300 for a Monday night in D.C. and Navy Yard is a little steep.
I know.
For a Homewood Suites.
And then dinner at RPM for six people was $300. And that was.
Well, so you guys, somebody was blessing you there.
Yeah, we thank Brian.
Oh, what is Brian, the GM?
Yes.
All right.
He also wants us to do a bit season there. He gets sized.
I would love to. I've actually never been to RPM.
You would love it.
You and Steve Chinigi go all the time. I'd kill for one of those meatballs.
I think they have spaghetti and meatballs for your unsophisticated palate.
I'm a fettuccine Alfredo guy.
Yeah, no, you do look like an Alfredo guy. So all in all, that's what it was.
All right, what's the next concert that you're going to embarrassingly ask on the air for? Grovel.
No, I already have that in the queue. Remember, I'm going to Bad Bunny. I know.
I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, that's clearly for somebody else. I mean, this is the second time you've gone to this concert. How many times do you need to see Bad Bunny?
I'm going with...
That is one you bless.
Jackie. That's Jackie's wife.
I know,
wife.
It's Costa Rican wife.
Yes.
Why don't you bless Jackie with those tickets? Say, Jackie, I've seen Bad Bunny. I bit that bullet last year. Why don't you and your beautiful wife go to the show?
You go without me?
Go without me. No, you know, here's four tickets. Take your other friends.
I can't do it. Because I would feel bad.
You think he cares?
I think he does.
Oh, no, I don't think he would. I'm not into Bad Bunny, Jackie. I know you got to go because your wife is into it and you're going to pretend like you like it too, but why don't you go have a great time? And I'll get these ones on me. Next round's on you. All right, just buy me a beer.
I don't think I have the gall to do that, to ask for something and not show up to it.
Actually, the way you should do that is you should get him the tickets and then have him buy you something that you want next time. Round of round of golf somewhere. I don't know, whatever you're into.
Hey, box of balls.
Hey, Jackie, I'm going to get you some tickets to Bad Bunny. You and your wife are going to have a great night. Why don't you get me that new Under Armour polo that dropped this spring in the golf section at Golfdom or Dick's or whatever other non-golf stores that the junkies are always promoting.
I don't know. I feel that's a slight to the person giving me the ticket.
All right, well, enjoy your season at Cap One. Are you glad they're going back to DC?
I kind of wish they were in San Andreas. I do have an observation I want to make about the concert, mm-hmm. the Zach Bryan concert. Number one, concerts are becoming the go to spot for high school. Remember how you used to cruise the mall? And everything like that. This has become the meeting up location with everyone between the ages of 14 and 21. This is the hot gathering location.
Well, this is a more of a special event. This isn't just teenagers mingling and into each other.
Well, I know that, but
this isn't the arcade.
But this is like it's the thing for young people to do. I was amazed at the amount of young people that were at
the
concert.
Well, you liked concerts when you were a teen. You were
I know, but I never had the ability to just dropped off at a concert or even metro by myself to a concert or find a ride to a concert with an older friend or older friends like that. That was astonishing to me. Just the age.
It's a lot of trust to drop your teenager off at a concert.
That was startling to me is the amount of trust that parents have for their tween.
Can't be easy to be a parent of teenagers.
I mean, I would just be, if I was one of those parents, I would just be worried all night long.
Yeah, isn't it EB who says he doesn't sleep until his kids?
Well, I can see
maybe
why.
It's Lurch. I can't remember. But.
And I'm not trying to narc, but they're not doing innocent things walking around Cap One.
You're not naming names.
No,
what were they doing?
I mean, they have booze that they snuck in. I mean, there's PDA.
Yeah, but you'd doing all this when you were that age.
There's a lot of hanky panky going on around at the
Zach
Capitol
Bryan. Is he turn all the women on?
Well, he is dating Brianna Chicken Fry.
I know I know the name. I guess I know what she looks like, but
she works with Barstool. Barstool has the younger crowd.
I know.
So they know him through that way.
I feel like Zach Bryan, who if you tell me is a top three country star, he's above dating some influencer. Even if she, you know, is attractive or.
I know it's a very weird relationship, but that's one of the observations I had when walking around Cap One, heading into my seat and everything. It's just the age, the age of the concert goers seem so young. Capital One itself. This is not a political statement. All right. Buckle up. This is not a political statement. We gotta do something about all gender bathrooms.
I didn't even know those were at Cap One.
Cap One, at least by our suite, there was no bathroom in the suite itself. There was one literally right across the hall in the main concourse, and it's an all gender bathroom. And this isn't have to do, it doesn't have to do anything about gender equality, women's rights, mm-hmm. men's rights, whatever it may be. But there are some things about each sex that just need to be
private.
All right, there are noises I heard coming from women in that bathroom.
All right, hold on. All right, so the concert's going. You're in the suite. You got a bunch of yeasty farts. All right. Yeah. Okay. So you're like, I need to take a. Are you going in there to take a crap or a leak?
No. I gotta take a pee because I'm. I had drinks right. beforehand. I'm pounding water, and so what I like to do is I like to go on Spotify, look at the set list, and pick out a song that I know that.
I didn't even know that was a thing when you go to concerts. You could get a set list before the concert. You know what songs she's going to play before he plays them?
All the time. I did that with Morgan Wallen. I do that with...
I had no idea.
Yeah, go on Spotify. You just type in the artist and the set list, and you can see every song they're going to play in order.
All right.
You can plan.
So he's got some stinker coming up,
yeah,
right? And you got one, too.
Yeah, we both got stinkers. We got to unleash. All right.
So I don't understand. Why don't you just go to the men's bathroom?
Well, I wanted to get back in time for the next song because I get sized for nine.
Well, there's
ball.
That many Zach Bryan hits. You can't miss two songs in a row.
I got to get back for nine ball. Okay.
All right.
All right. So I sprint on over, go out. I'll be right back. I sprint right over. I open the door, number one, I examine the door because the emblem was confusing to me because there's like three people on it. Or there's actually four people. There's a male picture, a female picture, like family picture, and underneath it says all gender. So I go, okay. Well, I mean, I'll just slip in, slip out, be very quick.
Well, maybe
because I figure no one's using this bathroom anyway because no one's stupid enough to leave a concert like I am. Not leave a concert, but just miss a song like me.
Okay.
So I open the door. All right, nothing but women in there.
Well, okay. Dude, do a U-turn. Get out of there.
Well, there was a stall. One stall was open.
Oh, my God.
All right. So.
Are there urinals in this?
No urinals. All stalls.
That doesn't seem very gender inclusive to me. No, there's no urinals in
they
there.
They had a sink. I could have been a real man and used the sink.
Mm-hmm.
The stalls themselves, the doors do not come all the way to the ground. So I've
been made to believe that in these all gender bathrooms that it's wall to ceilings.
Well, they must have ran out of building supplies and building materials because
is it like a normal stall?
Like a normal stall. You walk into the you
like
walk
a high
into
school
stall.
You
yeah,
can see
high school. It. The doors are brown.
Okay.
It's like a linoleum floor.
You know, Ted Leonsis has an obsession with bathrooms. That was like one of the things when last time they were renovating Cap One. Is that he like flushed all the toilets at the exact same time and
to make sure all the duties can get through?
Yeah, to make sure all the duties. And he like figured out a way to make the lines as short as possible. He's all about efficiency in the bathroom. Ted likes his
bathroom.
Well,
there was no line outside. And so when I opened the door, it looked like you're walking into a speakeasy.
All right.
That's how crowded it was inside. Also,
all these blonde bombers turn around and look at you and
yes,
you're like,
the stink eye.
Mm hmm.
The stink eye. Mm. I got the stink eye.
I just would have walked. You know, I said, I'm sorry.
It's like
wrong room.
It's like walking into a saloon when you're an out of town.
Piano
stops, screeching halt, glass bottle falls to the ground. You could have heard a pin drop when I walk in there.
Or juicy fart.
Or something else drop.
All right.
Okay. So one of the stalls is open, and I don't
excuse me, lady.
Well, excuse me. So one of the stalls is open. But before I get into the stall, there's just a row of bathrooms, a row of toilets, and you see cowboy boots just touching the ground. All right. So that's very off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
You have friends like standing next to them in the stall, friends standing outside of the stall. You see,
are girls doing their makeup? And
some are doing their makeup in the mirror. Some are kind of gossiping with one another, like they needed to have a private conversation, so they went into the bathroom.
I prefer not knowing what women do in the bathroom when they go in.
That's what I'm getting at. I don't want to see some woman's panties wrapped around their ankle.
Well, I don't. There's no chance you saw that.
You think I didn't see that?
You saw some girl's thong down on her spurs.
Yeah, okay. It was bunched up around her cowboy boots. Okay.
How high are these stall doors?
They're not that high.
Yeah, clearly, if you're seeing all their.
I mean, I see cowboy boots. I see underwear, and here's the this is the worst part. It's not just the visual of it; it's the sounds. The sounds that are coming out of these women when I'm trying to take a leak is so off-putting. And
sounds like a cow pie. Yeah.
Women should not be. I know women make these sounds, but it's oblivious to us. We should not be privy to the sounds that they're making. It just I look different. I look differently at women after the experience that I had at Zach Bryan.
You've lived with women before.
I did.
You know what the sounds are similar. It can't be a total shock.
It was kind
you
of
walked a total, in on Mama Valdez before.
It was kind of a shock. And the worst part about it is that I know these sounds are natural, but the sounds of that night were unnatural because
just these, some real growlers.
Yeah, because these women have been pounding 24-ounce tall boys.
they also went to RPM Italian.
Yeah, yeah. All right. They have carpaccio coming out of their ass.
Oh God. So the visual,
the sounds
just tainted you
and
scarred you for life.
Yeah, it was scarring. It was gross. And I understand I'm gross and I understand guys are gross.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's unnecessary. Can't we have some sort of mystery between the two sexes?
I would like for there to be a mystery as well.
Like there are just some things that we don't need to hear, we don't need to see, we don't need to experience.
Hey, look, there's plenty of people already on both sides who are fighting it or pro. So there's enough people on the case. So it's not something I'm really going to spend my time worrying about. It will work itself out over years. Either we'll have to accept the gender neutral bathrooms or they'll continue to be separate. I would prefer you can have gender neutral bathrooms, and if you want to go into one of those, that's fine. But I would prefer the option of a male or men's restroom. Yeah. And I've heard, I might be wrong, that like in high schools and some of these for younger people, it's becoming so natural where it everything is one bathroom that they'll eventually phase out the male and female rooms, and it will all just be everything will be gender neutral.
I don't know. And then, you know, here's the worst part is that you're a guy and guys understand this. Sometimes to get the stream going, you kind of got to
rip one.
You kind of rip one out the back end.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
pulling the lawnmower string.
Yeah, it's like priming the lawnmower before you pull the string.
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes the car backfires before it goes forward.
Right. All right. Yeah. Like Uncle Buck.
Yeah. So I'm around these women. I don't want to unleash
this
holy
is a traumatic
hell.
Experience. For
it was
you. I mean,
traumatic.
It was a traumatic 5 minutes.
I don't want to unleash holy hell in there.
Well, if they're unleashing holy hell, then you got to go all means. Show them what you're working with here. Show them how it's done.
Check raise them.
Yeah.
And also, I don't get is. This whole experience that we're doing, there's no chance. There's absolutely zero chance women asked for this, right? This isn't women pounding the table saying, hey, equal pay, equal rights, equal every, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're being discriminated against. We have glass ceilings. There's certain things that men are have the capability of doing that we don't have.
Well, I think
this,
it wasn't that
not,
they were asked.
I don't think of that.
I don't think women are necessarily asking for it. I think it's us having to hear guy farts is just they're going to have to accept that if everybody wants, you know, a certain community to feel inclusive. Right? It's just it's not a, it's a byproduct of
okay.
inclusivity,
okay.
It's a, right?
It's a byproduct.
We,
okay.
we
it's
just
a
have
byproduct.
To put up with us ripping farts in front
but
of
this
each
was,
other.
I mean, this had to have been something that no one really thought about. Everyone just thought it would be kumbaya.
Oh, yeah, right. All right. Yeah. Let's, right? let's, everybody feels welcome. Everybody gets a bathroom. No shaming. But they didn't think long term the repercussions of ripping farts in front of
the
other fence and how shameful it is. I can get with that.
Okay, and this, trust me, this isn't railing against.
Nobody thinks that.
This isn't
nobody
political.
Thinks
it's
that.
It's just this is a byproduct of, like, this is my first real experience mm-hmm. using it, because I've always yeah. been. I just went to the men's room.
Yeah, you're not talking about some
North Carolina band that's
right. Some guy dressed up in a wig and
no.
you know getting there to see kids or something. Yeah, you
no.
just you want to rip parts in private yeah. in front of other guys. That's it.
Yeah.
I get with that.
Maybe get a head nod after I rip the juicy
yeah.
one.
All right. Well, hey, it sounds like that was an eventful evening for you. A lot going on.
I was thinking about it all week. It was a traumatic experience.
One of I got two kind of am I wrongs for you here. One involving myself, and then one that I jumped on the internet and I saw this story, and I want to get your thoughts on it as well. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I got two am I wrongs for you.
All right,
you give
I
me
wrongs.
Your opinion. All right.
I like this. Am
all right,
I wrong?
Cool. All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 124. Before we get into the drab tease of Am I Wrong, I want to say that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, supports Bit Season. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code BITSEASON for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. So, Drab, you have the floor. You have me intrigued. Am I wrong?
All right. Well, this first one is junkies related.
Okay.
And I think the answer is probably yes already. And I'm starting to feel a little bad about it. So, JP's on vacation this week.
Yeah.
And he'll probably
Puerto
hear
Rico.
It. Puerto Rico, yeah. But he's still doing a lot of the tweeting from the Junks account. He's on the Facebook. He's still involved in the show, which
mm-hmm. that's great.
It's great. Okay.
Okay.
But there's been like a behind the scenes, not just us, but I see online, I see chatter about it, is that I don't know how else to say this, but despite the efforts, there's people who think or say that JP is not very good at social media. Like, he okay. doesn't really understand it, even though his daughter is a TikTok
phenomenon.
Superstar, and maybe
yeah.
he's just trying to keep up with her. But he doesn't really understand maybe the nuances or the protocol
okay.
or
yeah,
just
yeah.
kind of like the unwritten rules, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And JP's a numbers guy. Everybody knows this. And so he loves the analytics of the engagement, right? He's always talking behind the scenes about, oh, did you see how many comments this had, right?
Okay.
Did you see the how many shares this had, the engagements on okay. Facebook, right?
Uh-huh.
Which, again, is great because you always want to be growing the brand.
It's also very JP-like because, like you said, yeah. he loves stats.
So, and maybe I think I'm wrong on this, so maybe I'll just apologize, but JP this morning, he tweets out a link to the Jaden Daniels elbow
bursitis,
sticking out. Okay.
Bursitis, whatever you call it.
And
yeah?
I've noticed it on Twitter. JP has this history, has this like, not history, he has this style of like asking questions on Twitter, like one word questions or like just throwing like very bland questions out there to the audience.
Okay.
He's constantly doing it like, give me your thoughts on this. Is this real? It was one of the things.
He does say, is this real a lot?
Yeah. He did one the other day of JJ question mark. And it was like a JJ McCarthy being drafted one.
I've also noticed that during this whole draft process, he always likes to say, here's another opinion.
Yeah.
I have noticed that.
So today he tweets out the elbow thing, and he says, concerned?
Okay, with a question mark.
Yeah, question mark. And the first comment, within literally seconds, I saw that, and I looked at Valdez and I said, that's not a great tweet. I said something like that.
Yeah. And I would agree. I don't think that's a very...
The first comment is from this listener, Dr. Dre J. And he's always stirring things up, but I appreciate his comments as well. He says, oh my God, JP is posting engagement bait from vacation. And it made me laugh. And I said, that's true. Like he's not doing this, I don't think, to grow the brand. He's just doing this because he has an obsession with the numbers.
Like, he feels like
hitting a PR. He's constantly in search of a PR.
JP feels like the interaction, whether it's good or bad, negative or positive, correlates to on-air ratings, on-air success. Mm-hmm. Promotion.
All interaction is good interaction.
Thanks
for listening.
Yeah.
And I should have just sat down for a couple of minutes before I texted JP on vacation.
You texted him on the side.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just like, here's my thoughts on it. I said that elbow story is not really anything, JP. It was bursitis from getting hit during a game. It's not there now. It seems kind of silly to be making a story out of this on our Instagram or on our Twitter account.
Well, you know what? I feel like maybe if we posted something when the picture came out yesterday in the afternoon, like
it's been 18 hours since the story came out. It was cleared up.
It was clearly debunked. It was debunked by many doctors about how
why would you be concerned about a bruise from November?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
From a picture. And he responded, what's up? I posted a doctor story as well. I'm up here early and Mike Marr had me post something. So I added a few tweets. And then I said, it's just kind of cringy to be clickbaiting over a nothing burger from the show account. Twitter is not the same as Facebook. You won't get the comments you're searching for. Seems like you're reaching here.
Okay.
He goes, you're nitpicking. Who cares? You guys asked me to post things and now you're policing it. It's a viral story. It says so in the tweet. Quote, bizarre photo of Jaden Daniels' elbow is breaking the internet.
Well, but also he doesn't understand that breaking the internet means when it was happening 18 hours ago, not breaking the internet at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning the next day.
Now, I'm telling you guys this because I'm obviously feeling bad about it, but we're just working through this together. I said, not all posts are good posts. We should have some standards.
Okay, I understand that.
Why are you nitpicking the post? I post 99% of the stuff on the site to try to promote the show. I disagree with your assessment. Should I take down Tom Lavero's story about Jaden Daniels' mom? I mean, I saw Lavero's tweet, but I'm not really sure what that's in reference. I said, I'm not trying to nitpick. I just think it's a valid critique of the show Twitter. Okay. He goes, maybe, but I don't agree with you. And then he's talking about Marr, blah, blah, blah. But then he said this, and it kind of like punched me a little bit. He says, by the way, it's kind of a show of you to just launch into a critique, not, hey, how you doing? Hope vacation is going well. Thanks for posting to YouTube videos on your vacation and doing the social media. Nope, just a critique from you. Have a good show, Drab.
he gave you the thanks for listening.
Yeah.
He gave you the thanks for listening.
And then I felt bad. I'm like, you know, he's kind of right. That was probably like he's on vacation. I just kind of bombarded him with something that was so relatively minor.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, in your defense, in our defense, every time that we go on vacation, we try to not let each other enjoy vacation. But at the end of the day, we end up doing some sort of work. So I don't feel like JP kind of being like, I'm working while on vacation is valid, I guess you could say.
This was my response. Instead of saying, yeah, you might be right, or, you know, I'm sorry, I said, you guys have called me at 4 a.m. Pacific time many times on my vacation. Last time it was to grill me on air about fake stories about my kids crying on a plane. There weren't any pleasantries that time either.
That's another valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
with a specific example.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a reply.
Yeah. He said, again, have a great show. Sorry if it was me. Hope you're doing well. Going for a run.
Hey, not only did he thanks for listening to you, yeah. he also fat shamed you.
I know. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
going
yeah,
for a run.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I'm on vacation. Now I'm going for a run to get to stay in shape. Yeah. Don't tell me what to do, Drab, basically. I'm running the show account. There's some valid points there by JP. Like, he does all the work. Who am I to come in and say these tweets are embarrassing?
But they are.
They are. Some of them are embarrassing, right?
Yeah, not all of them.
If he's doing the work, then who am I to sit there and judge him?
That's also true.
So I'm going to apologize only on this show for now.
For now.
To JP. JP, I apologize. My conduct was very harsh for you being on vacation and probably unneeded and something I could have handled myself or talked to you when you came back in person.
You know what you should have done is you should have just showed me. And we should just had a 1-2 Jones session back and forth to get the
talk crap behind his back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you want.
Yeah. We'll do that, and that gets the venom out.
Yeah,
and then that way you don't.
I kind of slept on the vacation part about disturbing him on vacation.
You definitely right.
If he was in studio, you know, then we could have that would have been more fair. But
no,
at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. The you know,
hey, that was a very good halfway apology.
Thank you. Hopefully he hears it.
This is more so the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? So let's say we wait for him to come back for a vacation.
Right.
You say, hey JP, let's meet after the show. There's just some things I want to talk to you about regarding the social media.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have a whole outline and you say, hey, JP, these are some really good, you know, tweets that we did promoting the show or just about stories that we're talking about. And then polls that we've done. These are some great tweets right here. And, you know, here's all the engagement. Here's all the replies. Here's all the shares. Here are some tweets that I just feel like you put up there. That you just put up there because you're in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we avoid stuff like this compared to that?
We need to have thoughtful polls of the day, not just throwing stuff up there.
We need to have thoughtful, thought-provoking,
content.
Informative content, not one word, fill-in-the-blank sentences.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if we went about it that way.
And again, I'm also up to the consideration that I don't know what I'm talking about, and JP is the content king. That's an entire possibility, right? Maybe I'm very wrong about.
But the point of it is that even if we went about it in a more professional way, I guess mm-hmm. you could call it more professional way, where we outline it with examples and things of that nature. If you present them to JP, I still don't think he's hearing you when you're explaining it to him.
Right.
So I don't know how much, you know, if he would
no
just,
progress if would, was made.
I don't know if the, and that's my point is I don't know how much progress would be made if you did it differently.
All right.
That make sense?
That's just a little behind the scenes stuff for you guys that we don't get a chance to explain on air that we usually do. All right, Valdez. This is the other. Am I wrong? So we're gonna say Drab was wrong on this one, but this next one doesn't involve me.
Hey, that's the don't sleep poll of the day. Was Drab wrong? Yes. No.
when I eventually get fired from this job for having too many fights with JP, I'm going to be looking for something different. Okay. And I think my next job, Valdez.
Oh, you have a job?
Yes.
Is it a 2-for-1 deal?
Well, there's probably a few of these positions available.
Pouring beers.
Yeah. I'm going to be an editor for the New York Post. Okay.
Okay.
Because I saw this the other day. I saw this story.
We do consume a lot of their content.
In fact, this wasn't a story. I've told you before that New York Post is just garbage as far as like the content. It's interesting. Garbage is the wrong word. They do a great job of making stories out of complete non-stories.
Yeah.
They engagement farm stories. Yeah. Okay. So I was on Reddit the other day. Okay.
Okay.
And I've noticed that the New York Post steals content from Reddit and makes stories out of them. So I'm on Reddit the other day, and I'm not in this subreddit, but when you go to your homepage, a lot of times they put like trending stories or trending post on the homepage.
It's like FARC back in the day.
And so they actually have a subreddit on there called Am I Wrong, where people tell things that have happened in their life and they want people's opinion of whether or not they're wrong. And actually, I have my opinion about this, and this is a little bit long, but maybe I'll cut some of it out. So I'm actually just, the reason why I bring up the New York Post is I read this story the other day in the shower, okay, because I'm on the phone in the shower all the time. And I like to, that's when I browse for Reddit. And I was completely engaged or enthralled by this topic.
By the Am I Wrong.
And then 2 days later, the New York Post writes about
story.
It. Okay. So the headline is from this girl, Am I Wrong? I had an unexpected threesome with my best friend and my boyfriend. Am I wrong to feel extremely betrayed by both of them? And here's some of the story. Just the other night, I was hanging, and I'm not going to try to do a my panty voice, okay?
I saw this headline. I had it bookmarked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, all right. I've already read all 8,000 comments.
Okay.
Just the other night, I was hanging out with my best friend and my boyfriend in her apartment. It started out innocently enough with us playing games and watching movies. Then we started playing, quote, Never Have I Ever. Ooh. And the questions were pretty sexual. She then asked, Never have I ever had a threesome? And both me and my boyfriend said no. Her entire vibe changed to the point where it was scary. And she looked at us both and said, what if we did something crazy?
My head's steaming right now.
Okay. I kind of laughed because no part of me could have ever fathomed what she meant. But then she scooted closer to my boyfriend and started kissing him. He wasn't stopping her. I just froze. It felt surreal, like a dream, nightmare. They were making out, and it was the most natural thing in the world. I think I had a trauma response of sorts and kind of tricked myself into thinking this was normal. I can't explain it, but it's like my brain wasn't ready to feel the extent of what was happening, so it tricked itself.
Okay.
She's making excuses.
Yeah.
They started undressing each other.
Does it say how old they are?
No, but we're going to say over 18. Okay. They started undressing each other, and on instinct, I undress myself too.
On instinct. Okay.
This isn't a sex sub, so I won't go into the dirty details, damn it. But a full-fledged threesome occurred between us. The next morning I woke up, at first believing I had dreamt it, but there they were, naked on the floor together. I couldn't process what the hell occurred, so I just kind of ran out. When it finally hit me, I had a full-fledged breakdown. I've gotten calls and texts from both of them asking if I'm okay. I haven't responded. I can't respond. I've thrown up twice from the intrusive memories. I didn't want this. Why did I go along with this? Why didn't I stop it? Why did she start it? Questions are just swimming in my brain. I don't know what the hell to do.
Wow.
All right. And there's a lot more. Okay.
Hey, send that to me.
The last text I got from my boyfriend says, I hope you aren't upset. I think it was such a special event in our relationship, even though it was insane. He's knocked on my door and I haven't opened it. I have no idea where to go from here. I still love him, but I can't look at him the same. And I mean, I saw his effing D go in and out of my best friend. Not to mention her. I felt like I've been betrayed in the most disgusting way, even though I participated.
Mm.
Am I right to feel like they did wrong in the worst way?
The way she phrases it, and this is all I could think of, is that they had her boyfriend and her best friend had some sort of sexual chemistry or sexual tension that they used her. They figure out a way to enact on their sexual tension or sexual chemistry without feeling any kind of guilt. That's the first blink reaction I have to this.
So Reddit. But is like a younger person's website, maybe not just millennial, Gen Z, definitely left leaning, where there's always like, it's, I don't want to say like, there's a lot of victim mentality, I feel like, on Reddit.
Okay.
Where nobody ever gets blamed for themselves, even though the subreddit is called I Am Wrong, right?
They're looking for validation.
Right? Okay. For their poor choices.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost every comment I'm reading for like the first 20 minutes is blaming only the boyfriend and the girlfriend and the best friend,
okay,
not the girl who wrote the story.
Okay.
Did your boyfriend even check in with you to make sure you're okay? I think they set this up. You are right to feel betrayed.
It does.
Dump these assholes.
It does feel set up. I will say that it does feel very calculated.
I think I should put in here that they said that she said at some point in these comments that they were not drinking.
Oh,
I think drinking it goes a long ways, and you know, oh, that was a mistake. I feel like the boyfriend, first off, is a big dummy.
He's a huge dummy.
Big dummy that he couldn't read his girlfriend was upset the next morning, right? Uh-huh. And apparently, when they woke up, the boyfriend and the best friend, they also were texting each other that day, like, "Oh, I hope she's not mad at me. Last night was insane. That was the best." The boyfriend said that was the best night of my life because he's still not processing that his girlfriend is like super upset.
Yes.
Yeah, and the best friend said she always said you had a big Johnson. Or something, or you are always good in bed.
It's what it is. Well, number one, it's the best friend is a piece of garbage. That's on my totem pole of
mm-hmm. That's the number one thing
of my who's to blame. It's the best friend. Okay. Number two,
comment. They're both for the streets. Neither of them hesitated nor asked you if you were okay with it.
I don't
terrible boyfriend for not checking with the girlfriend first. Worst best friend ever to stir the pot. Not gonna lie, they can both F off.
He needs to have some sort of composure to understand what's going on in the moment and be like, oh, like if she just all of a sudden, you and the best friend just start making out, like you can stop it right there. That there's a crucial point in that whole thing where it can just stop. And be like, oh, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to be serious about this, we should discuss it. But then all of a sudden you're taken away from the moment. So I can get that.
What you can tell I'm probably getting at is why is there no blame on the girl who participated in it as well? This wasn't something they did. She says in the thing, I participated. I undressed myself. Okay. I'm reading all these comments and I'm like, yeah, sure. The boyfriend is an idiot. He's dumb and dumb and horny. And he was like, oh my God, I can't believe my luck. Yeah. Right.
I hit the jackpot.
The best friend is probably
a poisonous person.
Probably something like that. You need to definitely examine that. That may have been like, maybe she just got horny. Maybe this was a setup.
Maybe there is some sort of jealousy where she doesn't have a boyfriend and she's looking at her friend with a successful relationship and is jealous of that and wants to usurp it. But here, let me ask you a question. If all of a sudden this is happening and they're making out and they're taking off their clothes and the girlfriend who wrote the post says, this isn't for me, or all of a sudden isn't participating, isn't taking their clothes off, just leaves the room. It's fight or flight. And she chose flight. Okay. Do you think those two would have stopped?
Yes. Without knowing them, if it was like a normal thing. And I'm telling you, as a guy, oh my God, this is the luckiest night of my life. I can't believe I get to have a threesome with my girlfriend and her hot Fred. Like, guys are stupid, right? Yeah, we think with our Johnsons first.
We are stupid.
And especially when we're sized, it's a runaway train, okay?
Get off the track.
Your brain, neurons aren't firing at that point. Okay. No, I'm not saying I don't know women. I don't know how their brain works in situations like that.
The dopamine in that guy's brain was off the charts. Do you? This is also why this is
heartbreaking. This is a heartbreaking original poster. I can't even begin to imagine the helplessness you must have been feeling this whole time. A true partner with genuine intentions wouldn't have let this carry on. Full stop. My mind turns off when I try to picture myself in your situation. That type of betrayal is too difficult to fathom. I'm reading these comments saying this girl participated. She didn't stop it. Boy, guys are dumb. He's thinking, oh my God, he doesn't even realize it the next day that he did something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Right. He's like, well, this is, he thinks he's like stumbled into some like open relationship type thing where his girlfriend, he's going to be having threesome, FFM threesomes all the time.
FFM threesomes.
And it took me honestly like 10 minutes, Valdez. I'm still scrolling. I've been scrolling this almost entire conversation here to finally get to some people like Barry downvoted all these comments that said, Hey, dummy, you participated.
Assume some sort of blame.
You need to take some blame in this as well. You didn't just freeze. Your brain didn't trick yourself. You did not stop them at any point during this. You are also to blame for what happened. You could have said no. You didn't say no. And that's kind of how I feel about this whole thing. Yeah, I kind of feel bad for you. I feel bad for you the next day.
You know
that you regret, but you regret what you did. He didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
No, my blame totem pole is her friend, her, and then the guy.
Sounds like you're a woman hater.
I can't.
I
don't like going to the bathroom next to him. Don't like the decisions they made.
I would probably put the best friend at the top, right?
Yes, yeah, she's number one with a bullet.
But maybe, you know, have you ever played Never Have I Ever?
Of course.
Everybody knows the second you play that game where it's going.
Yeah, there's no someone's coming out when you play that game.
There's no PG version of Never Have I Ever.
None.
Okay, if my wife and we're sitting around with some guy friends of mine and some girls, and they say, someone says, we should play Never Have I Ever,
I go,
grabbing her by the wrist and I'm saying, we're out of here. Time to go home, right? Because I know what's about to happen in about 20 minutes. And I don't want to be part of that. Maybe I do, but I don't want to.
Right. This you realize what's going to happen now. The boy and the best friend are going to end up coupling.
You think so?
Yes.
No. You mean after a breakup?
Yes.
Breakup.
Breakup's imminent right now. There's so much emotional baggage and emotional trauma from this that they'll be unable to recover. Think about it. There's no chance they get through this.
No. The relationship's over. If she's this traumatized by it, the relationship's over.
So what's going to happen is, and it may be public, it may be in private, but this friend is going to actually try and make it work with this guy because number one, she enjoys the sex so much from him that she will do whatever she can to make it work. And maybe the friend will have some sort of come to Jesus moment about what just happened and how she just took this guy's husband or boyfriend.
Yeah, Valdez, I think I'm in the the microscopic minority here, because 8,000 comments, I swear, 7,900 of them are saying things like, she stole your boyfriend, she planned the entire thing, they 100% planned this behind your back, it was a setup, I would have bitch slapped both of them the moment they made out in front of me, he should have been checking in throughout the experience to make sure you were okay with it.
Are there any comments from true swingers? Like open relationship swingers, because I would need to know the protocol.
I don't know protocol.
Isn't it a well-known rule too that if you do a threesome, it has to be with a stranger? Isn't that a well-known rule?
I think that is something that you should be at the top of the list. Because if you regret it, you'll never have to see that person ever again.
Yeah.
And I've heard that like threesomes
or
swing.
Tell me what
you've heard. This is not, you know, it's not like threesomes,
swapping,
hot wives, cuckolding, all that kind of genre over there.
Yeah.
That a lot of people say it just like it's a fantasy, but as soon as you partake in it,
it's so toxic, it destroys
your relationship.
I can see that. Do you know what this guy should do? This guy should offer, doing a boy girl threesome to her. What?
Say,
look, babe, I can't believe you were so generous and it got kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I get that. So I'm going to bring Greg over.
Old Dick Greg.
Swinging Dick Greg. I'll name one of my friends you want to bang and I'll bring him over and I'll give that to you. There's a compromise.
I'd rather break up. Now, you put the guy last on your blame chart.
I put the guy last.
Most people are putting him first.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was his job to protect his girl and he failed.
He got molested.
Well, no, I don't think it was molested. I think she threw it out there and he was sized and they started making out. And I'm telling you, like, they wouldn't do it if she reacted.
He thought
he had a green light.
My blink reaction is it's planned. Is that The friend heard all of the sexcapades about how prolific in bed he is.
Yeah.
His Big Johnson and everything. And then her imagination started running wild and she wanted it. And I feel like because of the stories, there was sexual tension between the friend and the boyfriend. And I guarantee you there were probably some flirty side texts going on. Right.
Yep.
And then this was concocted.
Possibly.
That was my initial reaction.
Why not just cheat up behind her back? Like, if you're that into the other chick or you guys are that into each other, then just you don't have to involve her.
I don't know. Maybe they had some sort of guilt.
Possibly. I just think that she deserves more blame than is being thrown around in these comments.
I know. I put her second. I put her second.
Yeah. So those are my two am I wrongs. Did I titillate you here with the second one a little bit? Yeah,
definitely titillated. I forgot all about JP.
All right. Well, what else should we get into here? Because I know that we got a couple more things here. I saw one of the things that we didn't get into the junkies on the junkie show today that you put on the list here is Travis Kelce's body.
Oh, I had.
I think we might have different takes on this.
Well, this is what I thought. I said this on air.
Mm-hmm.
I think Taylor Swift messed up. I think she messed up.
Well, how so?
Because we saw Roadhouse. We saw Jake Gyllenhaal's ripped body. And she goes from...
She's having regrets.
Yeah, I think she has FOMO. I think she has regrets.
Her boyfriend's butt famous. Their relationship, let me tell you something. Her relationship with Travis Kelce is way more famous than her relationship was with Jake Gyllenhaal. Nobody cared when she dated Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't think many people knew.
Or knew. And she was younger and not quite as famous. But I
will say, I think Jake Gyllenhaal might be better, at least better attractively than Travis Kelce, better looks-wise. But this is a glow-up. For Taylor Swift, because I feel like Taylor looks good next to kind of regular Joe body Travis Kelce, not regular Joe body. He means an athlete. You know what I mean? Like if Taylor Swift was standing next to Jake Gyllenhaal, who had a 12-pack in Roadhouse, Taylor Swift would look bad in terms of her physical appearance.
First off, I think you need to be reminded that women don't necessarily crave six packs.
That is true.
All right. They like brute strength.
They do love raw strength.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce, if you want to call it a dad bod, first of all, one of my...
I know it's not a dad bod.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying in the terms of what I saw on Roadhouse compared to that, it's more leaning on the side of average. Like Jake Gyllenhaal's body looked fake. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, I thought this tweet was interesting. It was a Daily Mail tweet, and it was a picture, and it said, Travis Kelce defends his dad bod after Chief Star and Taylor Swift were spotted on the beach together in the Bahamas. It's March, says Kelce.
Okay.
Meaning, it's my off season.
Yeah, it's my hibernation period.
And look, it's a picture of Travis Kelce. He does... I'd be butt-sized to look like Travis. I'll just say this right now. I'd be butt-sized to be in shape like Travis Kelce, okay?
Uh-huh.
He just kind of looks like a big bear a little bit. He's got a lot of chest hair.
He does have a lot of chest hair. He ate a lot of horseradish as a kid.
And then I saw this retweet. Somehow it ended up on my feed from Buck Sexton, who I know does like Rush Limbaugh's time slot. I don't follow him, if anybody cares. But it just ended up in my feed. Buck Sexton, though, had an interesting tweet. It said, the internet perception of what a fit person looks like has been thoroughly warped by rampant steroid abuse of fitness influencers, actors, etc., who all deny taking anything. Basically saying that, like, Travis Kelce's got a great body.
Yeah.
None of us look as good as Travis Kelce.
We'd kill to look like him, is what you're saying.
All these guys on Instagram who are roided up and who do have six packs and make you feel terrible about yourself.
Are you saying that you and I should feel better about our bodies?
I think as long as you're active and you have a goal in mind and you're out there getting after it, you shouldn't feel bad about yourself. I would like to conduct an experiment.
Mm-hmm. Women who are the same age, one who is more active in social media than the other.
Yeah.
And then they kind of rate people's bodies. And we have like a social media gym influencer. We have regular Joe bods, big bods, stuff like that, just to see if it's true.
Look, I might be wrong.
Their brain is warped.
And again, I've already, throughout this episode alone, I've demonstrated I don't know women. Okay?
Okay.
But I think women aren't necessarily that attracted to ripped bodies as guys think they are. Women aren't necessarily attracted to ripped bodies because it screams
vanity,
right? That you spend all your time in the mirror.
Narcissism.
Being narcissistic, looking at yourself, having the perfect body, when really they just want a caretaker, a protector, somebody. You know, obviously, they want you to look good.
A manly just, man.
But they don't. Women aren't shallow like men.
Yeah.
Men are almost solely attracted to a woman by her looks at first, right? Uh-huh. Women can be charmed by other things. It's the King of Queens effect, right? If you're a funny guy, a fat guy, funny guy, or something, you can get a good looking woman. Uh-huh. It's impossible almost the other way around.
So what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that we should start feeling better about ourselves if
maybe we should stop chasing the six pack because A, it's nearly impossible. B, I'm sure my cord just fell over dead. But that's not what women necessarily want. And where is the satisfaction line? Like, when are we going to be happy with those? How big is too big for you, Valdez? When are you going to stop growing those muscles and just be content with where you're at?
I've started the slim down process.
Oh, all right. Was that after Monday night's six drinks?
No, ask Cork about my workout.
All right. You're on the burn.
I'm on the burns.
Okay.
The burn schedule. But that's actually, it's a great point. I mean, Travis Kelce is a outstanding athlete, like world-class athlete. He's in the 1% of 1%.
Yeah, we should. It's the same thing for women.
Like, and if he's those being
bimbo,
told,
the bimbo body that we see, or all the chicks with implants in their asses and making women feel terrible about themselves, isn't realistic either. Most women don't look like that. 0.0001% naturally, and slightly above that of people who are now having work done. Most women just don't look like that. And the women feel like they're constantly chasing that. And now we have it on the men's side because it's men looking at other guys going, man, I'm Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's supposed to feel bad about himself. He's a Super Bowl champion dating Taylor Swift.
If he's supposed to feel bad about himself, then we should be suicidal.
Right. Now, I will say there is a limit. I don't understand his brother being the most beautiful man on the planet or whatever list he was on. Because he is too fat.
He's lineman fat.
He's lineman fat. That's not to me, that's not what I want, but maybe women love that. Yeah. He's an athlete. He's confident in who he is. I don't know.
You just ruined my day if Travis Kelce is fat.
Do you want to know all this is about?
What it's about?
Making me feel that it's okay to go to the drive-thru for lunch today. All right.
Hey, I gave Drive about 20 Glory Day free wings things. Have you used those yet?
No, but I did go to Glory Days on Saturday to watch the Gonzaga game. I had I had a grilled chicken wrap.
Oh, look at you, Travis.
Look, not the most healthy thing when you throw in the tortilla, but better than boneless wings or, you know.
Yeah, I know. I gotcha.
Something delicious. It was okay.
That's good.
It's not grilled chicken so far below crispy chicken.
Hey, you realize you just opened the door for me to just snack all day today because I'm going to feel depressed that Travis Kelce has a fat bod.
He has
a fat dad bod.
I don't know. This is me telling you to accept yourself.
I am. I'm going to accept myself with some ruffled chips today.
All right, guys, thank you for listening. I think we've got about an hour or so here. I hope you enjoyed it this week. Not a lot of junkies talk, but sometimes, hey, it's a two-man show doing a lot of sports. Sometimes we got to provide our own content here.
Yes. You know what you could do today, all the biddies? Someone message Drab and tell him, have a good day.
Stop it. Someone, it was a good show.
Someone do that. Someone do that for Drabby. He would love that.
All right, guys. Have a good day. We'll see you back on the... We'll be hosting the Junkies tomorrow.
Yeah, catch us tomorrow. We'll be 6 asking... you know what? Tweet us for questions for Feinstein tomorrow.
Oh, my God. All right, guys. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Take care.